Back here on Cofield & Company, our weekly spot with the Westgate's John Murray. Remember, every Sunday morning, the Sunday football preview show with myself and Adam Hill. All right, John, licking your wounds after a rough Thursday night. A lot of things came together for the bettors on a Thursday.
Yeah, definitely, Steve, especially the Texans covering and that game going over. Anytime you have an island NFL game like that and it goes favorite and over, it's not going to be good for the sports books. The Lakers winning doesn't help either. The Lakers are going to be a team the public is on every night going forward.
Compare and contrast. I don't know if you have to contrast, but compare the handle you get on an average Lakers game versus the Vegas Golden Knights.
The Golden Knights, it's all about whether they're at home or not. That's an interesting thing I've noticed. Whenever VGK has a game at T-Mobile, I would say that outrights the Lakers games. But when VGK is on the road, we really don't write that much money on those games. So certainly the Lakers would be more popular than a VGK road game.
John Murray with us from the Westgate. You guys are ahead right now on the Golden Knights for sure, right?
Yeah, we're doing well. That was a bad loss on, I believe that was Wednesday night against Vancouver. Bad loss for VGK. They were a huge favorite at home. We had guys dumping big bets on them as a favorite. They lost in a shootout. VGK just can't seem to score right now. I'm not sure what the problem is, but they just can't seem to get the puck in the net.
Let's go back to the Thursday night football game. What was your take pregame on that? Because I'll admit on the air I said it. I thought the Dolphins could compete, and they got blown away in the second half. I guess I want your take on the Texans. And where are the Texans right now in terms of future plays? Because we're looking at 4 or 5 weeks ago, left for dead, Bill O'Brien's going to get fired. And now all of a sudden, they look good. Watson looked healthy last night. I mean, this is a team that a lot of people thought had a chance, not a lot, but some people thought had a chance to win the AFC Championship. Where are the bettors right now? Where are you right now on the Texans moving forward?
Well, you know, we had some sharp guys take Miami +7.5 on Sunday night right when we opened up that game. We just had so much public money come in on Houston. We had one of our house players bet $40,000 on Houston -7, -120. So we ended up – we needed Miami for sure. I still – you know, I've always considered Miami to be kind of a phony record all along. I think they were 3-1 at one point, and I always said I didn't think they were any good. So I'm not going to give Houston too much credit for beating Miami, but you can't ignore a 5-game winning streak. And we've got them down at 8-1 to win the AFC right now. And that was a very popular pick in the preseason, believe it or not. We have a pretty big liability on Houston winning the AFC. We also have them at 18-1 to win the Super Bowl. Not as many bets on that.
Wow.
We're in very good shape on Houston if they were actually win the Super Bowl. But I think that's quite unlikely. I don't believe in Bill O'Brien. I know Deshaun Watson, he looks like he's playing a lot better right now, but I can't see a Bill O'Brien coach team doing any damage in the playoffs.
This is why early in the season, and you may be throwing money away, but you do have to find some teams that are a bit down in the dumps with the adjusted Super Bowl odds and see if you can pluck some value, because I'm sure the Texans dropped big time. And now, like you said, they're back to 18-1. Let's do a test case here. I hope you know offhand. What's Philly now? What are the Eagles now for the Super Bowl?
40-1.
Oh, my God.
And that's a team. You know what's funny about them, Steve? We couldn't write a bet on them in the summer, which was really strange because they were the defending Super Bowl champions. They have a huge fan base, and we just could not write a bet on Philadelphia all summer long. We're still in great position on the Eagles. It's a stretch to think that the Eagles could get back into those really into Super Bowl contention when you've got the Rams and the Saints out there in the NFC.
Do you think it's a stretch at 40-1? I think there's some value there.
I
in that division,
some value, because I still believe that they're going to win the NFC East, because I don't think the Redskins are any good, and Dallas is still coached by Jason Garrett last time I checked, and the Giants are obviously a complete mess. So I think Philadelphia will still win that division. They'll get a home playoff game, but they'd likely have to beat some combination of the Rams and the Saints on the road in January, and I don't think they're capable of that.
Football Central, the doors open at 9. Adam Hill and myself are there at 8 with a one-hour preview on Sunday morning, and we get all the information from John, and then Jay Cornegay comes on live with us. All right, we talked about Philly, and by the way, we're there at 8. There's a game that starts at 6:30 in the morning. Did you get anything in on last week's London game? And do you expect something bigger because these are more marquee teams in Jacks and Philly?
I would think we'd get more on this game. I think the public is going to come in pretty heavily on Philadelphia. Everybody saw Jacksonville last week. They got blown out at home by Houston. The Jaguars are a mess right now, so I think there'll be a lot of public support for the Eagles. Usually with these 6:30 a.m. London kickoffs, there's not a lot of money pregame, at least on Sunday morning. But we do write a lot of money on the second half. The crowd's starting to filter into the book to bet the 10 a.m. games, and they go up to the window for that second half bet, usually around 8 a.m. local time.
And I can't treat this as Jacksonville plus three as a home dog? No.
No, I wouldn't call that a home dog, although they are pretty experienced in London. You know, Blake Bortles, I think, is 3-0 in London, and he's really played well there for whatever reason. But I'm chalking that up to being nothing more than a fluke.
You have Jacksonville in the mix at all for the AFC Championship anymore on the futures board?
I don't think so. I mean, they're right now they're 23-1 to win the AFC. They've clearly fallen behind Houston in the AFC South pecking order. And then you've got teams out there, New England, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Baltimore is good. I don't see Jacksonville getting back into the mix for the Super Bowl.
John Murray's with us here on Cofield & Company on this Friday. He's the boss. We'll call him the boss over at the Westgate. You are. You're the director. That sounds like a very bossy title. Cleveland and Pittsburgh. It looks like money over the last day or so is coming in on Cleveland. There were some nines out there, but I see you guys are, what, at 8.5 now? There's some eights.
Yeah, we got 8.5 right now. Most of the money has actually come in on Pittsburgh, but there's more tickets on Cleveland here at the Superbook. Cleveland's my favorite team in the league, Steve. You know that. You know how much I like watching the Browns games on Sunday. They're always fun, especially if it's a close game. It's fun watching Hugh Jackson find ways to bungle those late game situations. I'll definitely have my eyes on the Browns game on Sunday morning.
Let's hit some games with some big spreads along with Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Kansas City is, well, there's a 10 out there, but mostly 9.5. So you guys have 9.5. Where do you expect the money to be on this game moving forward, Denver in KC?
The public's going to be on Kansas City. We all know that. And I can't blame the public. The Chiefs have covered for them every single week this season. The offense is awesome with the kid Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. The wise guys are probably going to take Denver. They already have taken some plus 10. That's why it's down to 9.5. Denver at home, that Monday night football game in week 3 against Kansas City, was a very popular sharp side. A lot of our sharp groups took the Broncos in that first matchup between these teams.
You get any volume on the Jets and the Bears? The Bears right now are 8, and you actually have one of the higher numbers. There are still 7s available, minus 125 around town.
Yeah, we got some volume. We had a guy on Sunday night. We opened this thing, Chicago minus 6. He laid the Bears minus the 6 to win 50,000. So right now we definitely need your New York Jets to come through. Right now we got the game Chicago minus 8.
Speaking of New York, Giants in a weird spot here at home. Although it looks like, you tell me, the money is coming in on the Giants. Now we're seeing a pick, Washington and New York.
We're pretty split on this game right now. There's a few more tickets on the Reds. Well, there's more tickets on the Redskins, I should say, but the money is pretty split. We got this game at Pick'em, like you just mentioned. I do think the public is going to come in on Washington in this game, and the Giants are 1-6, so I can see why. The Redskins are on an impressive two-game winning streak. They're quietly 4-2, and they're in first place.
What'd you guys open Cincy at against Tampa?
I think we opened at 6 on Sunday night, but important to remember, that was before the Sunday night game.
Right.
Before the Bengals got blown out by Kansas City. We saw that number come down to 4.5. We saw some sharper groups take 4.5. Right now we got the Bengals minus 3.5 against Tampa Bay. Great coaching matchup, Dirk Cutter and Marvin Lewis. That should be awesome.
We got any sharps who jumped on the 6 and may come back trying for the middle at plus 3.5?
I didn't see that. I didn't see the sharp groups get in on this game until it was down to 4.5. The line just moved on Sunday night, Monday morning, because of how terrible the Bengals looked against Kansas City.
Let me state that correctly. Tampa plus 6, and then Cincy Lane, the 3.5, would be the middle. All right, Baltimore and Carolina. Where are the sharps on this one? I'm seeing a 3 out there. You guys are 2.5 with the Ravens favorite at Carolina.
It hasn't been bet here at the Superbook, but clearly there's been some money offshore on Baltimore because this game was a pick'em earlier in the week, and right now it's a minus 2.5, minus 120. Baltimore, I thought that was a very well-played game last Sunday against the Saints. That game could have easily gone either way. Carolina just not playing very good football right now, although they did have an impressive comeback win against Philadelphia this past week. But they've really been living on the edge. They probably should have lost to the Giants 3 weeks ago. They did lose to the Redskins, and they needed a huge comeback last week against the Eagles.
Can you recall what's been your biggest afternoon into evening in terms of betting? And can this set of games with Green Bay and the Rams and then the Saints and Minnesota rival, the biggest afternoon handle you've had?
The most heavily bet afternoon game. I remember we took a lot of money on that Saints-Giants game. I forget what week that was, but the public was pretty heavily on the New Orleans Saints in that game. The Dallas-Jacksonville game 2 weeks ago was a pretty heavily bet game. I don't see this afternoon card being super heavily bet.
Really? With Green Bay and the Rams?
49ers-Cardinals is a complete dud of a game.
Yeah,
Green Bay, you're right. Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay Rams into New Orleans-Minnesota, I would think you'd have a lot of people who are fired up for those games.
New Orleans-Minnesota will be one of it's probably maybe the best Sunday night game of the year so far, either that or New England-Kansas City. You know, what's interesting, the public is coming in heavily on Green Bay as a dog. Ticket count on that game is almost 4-1 right now on the Packers.
Yeah.
So the public likes getting Aaron Rodgers and all those points. Green Bay off their bye week. I'd be nervous backing Mike McCarthy against Sean McVay. I don't care how many points I'm getting. That is a huge mismatch in the coaching department.
What do you think the Sharps will do? I would think Green Bay and the Rams, and like you said, I almost said Favre, Rodgers getting 9, 9.5. That could be a game where you get Sharps and Squares on one side, a real rarity.
Yeah, we had a Sharp guy take +8.5 on Green Bay when we put up the 12-day number last week, the look-ahead line. Haven't really seen our sharper groups weigh in on this game yet, but the public definitely likes Green Bay, and they're going to play Green Bay money line as well in straight bets. But don't get me wrong, the Rams are going to be included in a lot of money line parlays and a lot of teasers, 7-point teasers going under that number of 3.
I got to ask you about the guy with the bag, as some people call him, Duffel Bag Boy. Did he stop by? This is. Do you like this story, or do you kind of get annoyed over it? These weird anonymous bettors.
I don't mind it. I don't understand why everybody's so fascinated by him. And I think I'm on record as saying Duffel Bag Boy is not a good nickname.
It's also not a safe nickname because I'm waiting for someone to take him down at one of these books.
I've ever seen him with a duffel bag.
Yeah,
so
is that right?
I don't know that anybody would be able to identify him. I know who he is, but I don't think I've ever actually seen him with a duffel bag in his hand.
John, where'd the name come from then?
I don't know.
What, are you just making it up?
Maybe he had a duffel bag one time. I really don't know where that nickname came from, but we haven't seen him in 2 weeks. He bet Army. I think they were playing San Jose State two weeks ago. He laid 14.5 to win 30,000. He won that game very easily. Army won 52-3, but that was the last we've seen of him here at the Superbook. Waiting on his next appearance. I know the people out there wait with bated breath to hear about the Duffel Bag Boy.
Sure, like I said, they wait to hear about him. They also look for him. You know, look for someone with a duffel bag. You're going to have tourists just tackled randomly with duffel bags. Hey,
is
there cash in there?
Walking through Vegas casinos with a duffel bag. You might
exactly.
get autograph requests.
John's here to keep you safe. So he bets mostly college football. I wanted to ask you a college football question about the Heisman. What are you doing now with the Heisman?
You know, we took it off this week.
What?
We closed the betting this week. Is there any way that Tua doesn't win it? I heard William Hill had -$4. I don't see how he can not win. And we've unfortunately built a pretty big liability on Tua because we had some of our house players lay big prices on him. And they're in very good shape right now. I'd say other than an injury, Tua is going to win the Heisman this season.
You're not going to pull the national title, but are you just getting smashed with money on Bama?
Yeah, actually, no. We win on Alabama right now. People would rather take a long shot in a pool like that. We'll definitely never close the betting on that. And we're okay riding money Alabama. We have a -250. If you want to lay -250, I don't think there's a whole lot of value there. They still have to, no matter what happens the next 5 weeks, 6 weeks, they're going to have to be two good teams on neutral fields to win the college football championship. And they really haven't played anybody yet. I know I keep saying that, but they haven't played any good teams yet. I do think Clemson can give them a good game.
Adam Hill is out today. He's covering the VGK game. What do you think of Adam Hill saying -250 is incredible value? You have to bet Bama -250. Great value.
A great value at -250. I don't know if I agree with him. I mean, Alabama will probably win the national championship. But, Adam, you should have taken it when it was +250. Now, that was great value. -250, I don't think you're getting away with anything there.
That's a good point. If you passed on, you know, from a better standpoint, I know you guys want to win, but from a better standpoint, if something was +250 and now it's -250, can there ever really be good value at that point?
It's hard to say that that's good value. I mean, let's just pretend that they have to beat some kind of a combination of Ohio State or Michigan and then Clemson in the championship game. They're going to be a good-sized favorite in those games, but I don't know how much you're getting away with at -250. And there's always a chance that they could somehow not make it to the playoff, although that's very unlikely.
John, thank you for the time. We'll see you on Sunday.
Steve, no problem, man. Have a good day.